It is, and it's 9:06, another Saturday morning with the show, and let me say good morning. By the way, this is Ken Connors. Let me say good morning to Walter Assey from Renovco, who's going to fill in and answer your calls this morning. Walter, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. How was Friday night? You have a nice, quiet night?
Quiet is an understatement. Yeah, I was working, so it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. How about you?
I get up early on Saturday morning, so I didn't stay. We went out, but I didn't stay out too late. I was in bed by 9:30. How's that?
That's great. That's 9:30 is good.
Walter, you ready to answer some calls? Ready to go?
Sure.
All right. 514-790-0800. We're going to start with Steve out in Pierrefonds. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. You're on with Walter. You want to talk to him about that front door issue you're having, right?
Yeah, we have a front door where I've had to change the lock three times in about a year and a half. Unfortunately, because of the it's a construction from 2004, the builder made everything custom, so there's only one type of lock that goes on the door. Even had a locksmith in at one point. So I had to change it often, and we have two recurring problems. One, an ice buildup, where I've actually taken the lock apart and removed a chunk of ice. Is there anything to do about that? And second, the key goes in very, very poorly. Is there a certain type of oil that I could use to improve that?
Yes, so what it seems like that the problem is that you have some type of an air leak through the lock, if there's any ice buildup there. The hot air from the condo is probably reaching the cold air from the outside, and it's doing some condensation. Now, have you looked if the hole that was done for the lock is bigger than it should be, for example? That's one thing that you need to look at. One way of maybe testing if that theory works is try to see if you can cock the outside around the lock or try to kind of block the air from coming in and see if that helps. That's one of looking at it. I don't see any other thing. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes, when we change locks, you know, the holes do not fit anymore as they should. And that's why we have to be very careful with the type of lock that we pick. The other thing is you could call back the locksmith and see if he can give you a lock that is more compatible to the opening. That's another solution for you if that doesn't work.
Okay. And what kind of oil would you suggest to lubricate it?
I mean, WD-40 should work. Any lubricant, really. It's not, but again, it shouldn't be. Is the key that you're using original or it's a copy?
I'm sorry?
Is the key that you're using to unlock the door original or it's a copy?
Oh, no, it's original. I just bought, yet again, a brand new one. It always has to be the same make. It's the Rona home brand, just because of the dimensions. It's the only one that fits, unfortunately. It came with three keys, and 1 week after having it, it's difficult to get in the slot.
Yeah. So try like WD-40. That should work. Graphite unlocks. Or graphite, when it actually freezes up, maybe try a de-icer, but try to keep moistures out of all the keyholes and everything else. That also should help. WD-40 should work. If it doesn't work, then there's something wrong with your lock itself.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Steve. Thank you for listening to the show.
Let me know if it works. Let me know if it works.
Perfect.
Okay.
Very Have good. A great day.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you. Let's go to 9:10. We have time for this before traffic. Kenneth is calling from Lachine. Good morning, Kenneth.
Hi, I'd like to ask you something about Manila rope. Some people call it the abaca from the abaca plant. It said it's stronger than nylon, and it doesn't get damaged by salt water, so they use it for marine vehicles and wharfs. Could that be used in house construction? Would that be economical, that prevents cracking and give it extra strength?
Well, I mean, the Manila rope is known to be the strongest natural rope ever done. So it's really sturdy for sure. Yes, we can use it in construction and even in landscaping. It's something that is common. It's you know, it's made from hemp, if I remember correctly. So I mean, it's a great, strong, sturdy rope for sure. But I think it's mostly prominent in the Philippines, right? So that's where probably the name Manila came from. But yeah, it's a rope that is very sturdy, and you could definitely use it. It's used for construction and landscaping. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I heard that about 4 years ago when I first heard about it. They said they were starting to experiment in the States with it because it makes the concrete preventing cracks, and it doesn't burn, it singes, and it's isn't damaged by salt water. Do you think that would be economical for construction walls, or is that just not too expensive?
I'm not sure about the pricing of it, to be quite frank with you. All I can tell you is I know that it is getting more and more popular, and it's sturdy material to use. So you know, when you say economical versus what, that's the question. Like, if you're using the Manila rope, is to replace what in construction?
Well, I thought maybe when somebody's shipping it, it might make the concrete a bit lighter, like concrete blocks or something. I'm just wondering if they put enough in it that it made it lightweight, you know?
I mean, that's an interesting thing you just mentioned, because there is a study to add hemp fibers to concrete, and that have nothing to do with the rope itself. That makes the concrete stronger and lighter, and there's very promising feedback on that. So that might be a better answer for you than the actual rope itself. It's not definitive, and the costing is still being studied. But the feedback that we got out of the study is very promising, and that's a great thing.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Kenneth.
My
Appreciate the
pleasure.
call. Thank you for listening to the show. It's you know, we're going to quickly go to Mary in St. Leonard, Walter. 'Cause Mary, you said you wanted to just do a follow-up on the guy who called in with his issue about the lock.
Yes, I do. Good
Oh,
morning, by the way.
morning.
I listen to your show every Saturday.
Oh, very nice.
Just to the this is a little tip. I've had the same problem. I called the locksmith. He changed the cylinder, and it's been working fantastic ever since. So maybe that's something to think about.
Okay. What do you think, Walter?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said if the WD-40 doesn't work, then there's some, definitely you have to look into the cylinder itself, or you know, and a lock. I mean, the good news is that there's not many things that could go wrong. You know, sometimes the key, the copy does not fit right because the copy is not well done.
Yeah.
Or because, you know, so definitely we could start with the WD-40. That would be the easiest, cheaper way to go. And then we can move on to calling the locksmith. And especially if you change it recently, there should be a kind of a guarantee on the lock.
How's that, Mary?
Hello, yes?
Yeah, you still here? You still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for the tip. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
A couple of lines just freed up. If you have a question about a home problem, a home renovation issue, something that you need fixed, need advice, free advice, it's right here for the full hour. Call now 514-790-0800 to talk and get some advice on the Home Improvement Show. Coming back with Walter Assey at Renovco in just a second.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
It is 9:21. Nice to have you with us here for a full hour on the Home Improvement Show. And once again this week, Walter Assey from Renovco has been nice enough to fill in and answer your calls and give you his experience and advice. So, Walter, we're going to go right back to the phone. This is Pat who's calling in. I think roof and gutters, I think, are on your mind, right, Pat?
Yes, that's right. I have a two-story house with a mansard roof, and I have gutters at the, like, below the second floor windows. And I just had a roofer come by and tell me I should have them above the windows, kind of where the roof makes its angle. And I had never heard of that, because I also have a strip at that same spot for air circulation, because mansard roofs are notorious for not having good air circulation and getting an accumulation of ice and whatnot. So I'd like a second opinion on that one. Thank you.
So first, you're right. Mansard roofing is probably the worst type of roof for our climate. I think personally it was a mistake to bring it to Quebec, because ventilation is a chronic problem with mansard roofing. It's very hard to get the air through the soffits all the way up. It's a long distance to travel. So it does tend to cause problems in the attic often. Having said that, I mean, usually where you want to put the gutters in particular, it's where the water flow is, and that's what you, that will be the logical place. I have not seen it closer to the top of the roof in a mansard. That would be the first, and I'm not even quite sure how it's going to look like, to be honest with you, and that's another thing. So,
he said like to have it over the windows. Like over the windows, is, I guess, maybe to catch some of the drip, but because every like 5-10 years, I have to have a repair done like over the doors, because that seems to be where the nail that holds the gutter in place falls out, because those are the spots where the sun hits and there's ice buildup and whatnot.
Okay, but why is it a roofer that's giving you that advice? That's what I'm not understanding. I mean, what does he have to do with the gutters? You need to call a gutter specialist, and more often than not, that piece of wood might need to be reinforced where you're screwing that particular area, or replaced.
Okay.
Not every time you replace a gutter, you know, necessarily that the gutter specialists are looking into the, they just make sure that the screw comes in and goes in, and that's the end of the story. Sometimes you do need to replace the wood underneath, and that's important to get it looked at. If you reinforce it or put some type of a harder wood, you might have a better success.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thank you. Okay.
How's that, Pat?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great
day.
And thank you for calling. All right, bye now. Let us go to Ben, who's in Laval, to talk to you. Walter, hi, Ben.
Hi.
How are you? Oh, we're good. Thanks for joining the show. What do you want to talk to Walter about?
I was listening to the radio just before, and somebody was talking about putting in WD-40 into a lock. I recently called a locksmith, and instead of WD-40, he put in something called PL-100, which he said does not freeze. Because I couldn't put my key in, so he sprayed this stuff in and worked like a charm.
Okay, is that a product from WD-40?
It's a product that you can get at any hardware store, or it's called PL-100.
Okay,
PL-100.
All right. That's right.
Does it belong to WD-40, or is it a separate product?
I have no idea. I didn't check. I just know that. He told me to use PL-100.
All right, very good.
And it works.
All right.
Okay.
Ben, thanks for that.
Good to know. Thank you.
Bye now. We're going to go to Nick, who's been waiting. Hello, Nick.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Walter. Okay, I have a problem. I have a bungalow in Somerick. And in the front door that we enter, there is a skylight. And every year that this time, we have water coming in, only in one place. Now, we try to put insulation underneath from the front door, you know, the space that is there, but still it's coming. And we ask many people, we ask roofers and this, we did fix the roof around there, and we did fix the whole roof, but not to no avail. It's the same thing happens every year. What can we do? And if you have anybody that is experienced to tell us and do the job that we will not have a problem.
Okay, so I have a few questions about that. I just want to make sure I understand you correctly. You're saying yes. It's a skylight that is on your roof that is leaking, right? Is that what
yes.
I understand?
When it rains, okay. It doesn't leak.
Okay, so it's in the spring thaw when the snow starts melting?
Yes,
starts
well, when it's cold and then it starts to get warm and it starts to leak.
Okay, so have you looked, when it starts to leak, have you looked around that skylight if you have a lot of snow accumulation or ice in that area?
Well, no, I didn't, but because
okay.
It's my daughter's house, so I don't live there. But, I do some repairs there and everything, but I don't touch that. You know, the skylight, I don't touch. My son-in-law put some caulking or whatever around, but no, it's not this. They fixed the roof, nothing happens. So
okay. So here's what we're going to do. The next time it actually leaks, get them to take a video of the conditions of the roof. What we want to see if there's any ice or snow buildup in that area. So we understand at what conditions the skylight is leaking. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you said that you've put insulation, and I mean, it's a good start of you trying to see if the problem is indeed due to lack of insulation and the cold air and the hot air meeting, and there's a condensation in that area, which would have nothing to do with the skylight, by the way. It would be an attic problem. So you're saying that you put insulation. My question to you is, did you ensure that particularly in that area, that your soffits are not blocked and that the air is coming through in the attic, ventilating your attic?
Well, I have no idea about that. The thing is, we want to fix it. And if you have anybody that knows what to do and how to do the job right, or we do have to change the skylight or something, because this, it cannot go on all every year.
Okay. I mean, yes, I understand, and you're right. There are some certain steps that you can take in order to help whatever specialist comes to you to kind of zero in on the problem, because a leaky roof can have, you know, sometimes we think it's one thing and it's another thing completely different.
Exactly.
You
That's
know, skylights typically...
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Skylights typically leak for multiple reasons. One of them that we've seen is that the flashing was not installed or not adequately installed around the skylight. There is this misconception that you have to caulk and caulk and caulk around it. That's actually false. Caulking is a bubblegum type of a fix. You don't really fix anything by caulking. Caulking is a last line of defense. It's not really the proper way. So it might help in temporarily solving something, but not for a long time.
Right.
So you want to check if the flashing is right. You want to check if you have any seal that is broken on the glass. You want to check the attic itself, okay? What's happening in the attic in that area? Am I getting enough airflow? And that's very easy. If you open your attic latch and go in the attic, number one, you want to see daylight in that area. So you want to see the sun. Obviously, you have to go there during the day. Go at night, you're not going to have much success. So you want to ensure that the sun is coming in. Number two is you want to look at the amount of insulation, because sometimes what happens, that's very, very common. We repair a problem, but we create a bigger problem by repairing that problem, thinking that we repaired it. Example, I've seen cases where people put insulation, but they put way too much insulation. And now they're choking their attic. And, you know, all of a sudden that leak becomes stronger and worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, there have to be an understanding on the different steps to take. Having said that, if you have done these things by elimination before the specialist come, now you're going to help zero in on the problem, and it's probably going to cost you cheaper than trial and error. Okay? There's no one better than you to know the history of that leak. Under which conditions, you know, mark down the temperature that day, take a video of how the roof looked like in this area.
Document everything,
and so
right?
On and so forth. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. And that's what, because I mean, if I'm going to come to you and it's minus 23 and it's not really leaking, I'm not going to really, you know, I might have an idea by looking, but if you give me a bit more to work with, there's much more data that I can analyze to give you a proper
assessment.
Solution.
Walter, we got to run for news, but thank you for the call, Nick. Appreciate that. Frees up a line, too, at 514-790-0800.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Yeah, we're back 9:38 with Ken Connors and answering your calls and offering his advice is Walter Assey from Renovco. Walter, we're going to Terrebonne to say hello to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, I'm calling about a heating oil reservoir filter, which is attached to the bottom of the reservoir, which was installed in 2005. This is a big round filter. It's about 3-inch diameter and 4-inch high. Hmm. As far as I know, it has never been changed. Should that be changed regularly or no?
Hmm.
Do you have a maintenance? Do you have a maintenance with a furnace company for your furnace?
They come, but they only change the very tiny filter that is attached to the motor of the actual furnace. But I've never seen them take off and change the general. It's called general filter. That's attached to the bottom, right at the bottom of the reservoir. As far as I know, that's never been changed.
How old is your reservoir?
2005 is the reservoir was installed. Again, we had to make a new one. So I don't know whether that should be changed every year or not.
Typically, it's once a year that you would have to do it.
But it's never been changed. So do I have to get somebody to do it for me, or can I buy it and do it myself? Because it's a matter of turning it and very carefully taking it off and then putting on the new one.
You could definitely do it yourself. I mean, it's not really difficult to do. Were you planning to change your furnace stone? Or?
No, nothing. It's just that the filter, it's never been changed since 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, somebody told me that there's a problem if you put any air bubbles into the filter as you're changing it. So I was wondering how to avoid putting in some air bubble into the, because there's a pipe.
Well, just make sure that, make sure that when you do it, you're going to close it correctly. You're going to make sure it's sealed well.
Yeah, the tap. You close the tap, right.
Yeah, I mean, the oil filter itself, it plays a crucial role in the operation of any oil fire central heating system, right?
Okay, yes.
So you need to make sure that it's in good working condition. Because if it is clogged for any reason, your boiler might shut down, and you know, and then you're going to have further damages to your system.
Yeah,
so you need to ensure that it's regularly cleaned up. Typically speaking, you want to speak to the company that does your yearly maintenance, because I'm sure you have someone comes at least once a year. They clean and maintain your furnace. Am I correct?
Well, they did. They came last October, but they only changed the little small filter that's attached to the motor that is attached to the furnace. That's what I was trying to tell you. And I called them and they said, no, they don't do that. So I don't know anymore.
Well, then you know, for sure you should get it done, because if you don't, you might have issues, especially that you haven't changed in so many years. So,
yeah. I've never seen it change.
Yeah.
They never showed me the spare one that they took off. I've never seen that.
I mean, the simple answer is the word filter is always associated with something that has to be maintained. You know, in anything, I've never heard of, you know, whether it's a furnace filter or a car filter, air filter.
That's right. Yeah, it should be.
The idea with filter, it gets, that's correct.
Yeah.
Hence the word filter, right? So make sure it's done. It's not difficult to change.
No, it isn't.
Just make sure that you screw it in properly, and
How do I avoid not getting any air bubbles into it when I'm changing the filter? Because I've seen it on YouTube how it's done. It's really, it's just that they mentioned do not let air into the unit.
Well, I mean, we've seen cases where it was just badly screwed, It was not tightened enough. Okay. So it's not really, it's just a question of how you put it in, how you screw it in, and make sure that, you know, it's well tightened, and you should be good to go.
Yeah, it's easy. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Bye
now.
Bye-bye. My pleasure. We got a couple of minutes. You know what, Walter? We'll go to Cheryl, and if we need more time, we'll just stop and come back on the other side. Let me bring her up. Cheryl, hi.
Hi, good morning, Ken. Walter, thank you for taking my call.
Do you want to talk to Walter about that electric panel, right?
Yeah, I just want to know, is it recommended? Is it a good idea? Because I want to change the location. That's where all the breakers are, and I would like to change the location, because that same wall that it falls on, perpendicular wall, it needs to be insulated because there's cold air coming through somewhere, we don't know where, and in the area of the dryer, the washer and dryer, and also underneath the sink in the vanity bathroom. So I would really like to get that wall insulated properly. I mean, cold air, that sink, the water, the taps couldn't come in on this winter. So I thought, maybe we could displace that and change the layout of that bathroom, or make the dryer area smaller or something. So would it be recommended to displace or move
the
actual breakers panel where all the switches are?
What do you think, Walter?
It's not a small job to move a panel, especially if you're moving it a fair long distance. My other suggestion for you would be, is if you get the electrician to remove temporarily the panel, you reinsulate the wall behind it, and you put it back in the same location.
Okay.
That will save you a fortune.
Okay.
And a whole bunch of headaches as well. So that would be the best way to do it. That would be really the best and the most economical way to do it. And you could reinstall the same panel. Mm-hmm. You use the same wires. Because you see, the problem is that all the wires that are coming, they're coming from all over the house and going to that location.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you want to move the panel. Now, there's definitely not enough loose to move it a long distance.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be very careful with that.
Yeah.
The best way, again, just take it out. Get the electrician to take it out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You get your contractor to come in, insulate the wall, you put it nicely, and then you reinstall it on the same location.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Cheryl. Have a good one.
You too. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Bye now. Freeze up a line. Call now if you want to get some free advice at 514-790-0800. Marilyn, we're coming to you next. It's 9:45.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, you are. Home Stretcher, 9:51. That's Ken, along with Walter from Renovco, has been answering the calls. Walter, we're going to bring in Marilyn, who just wants to do a follow-up, I guess, about a call we took earlier in the hour about a skylight. Marilyn, you said you had a similar problem with your skylight, right?
Yes, yes. Good morning, Walter. We spoke during the flood time. Walter, I wanted to say something with regard to the skylights. I live in the country. Mm-hmm. I have a low-sloped roof and many skylights. And I had a problem with skylights dripping and so on. So I had the people come up, and they say, they did the caulking around the flashing and everything and so on. And still the problem remains. So they said, get rid of the skylights and you won't have the problem anymore. So that was not the right answer for me. So I went up on the roof myself, since it's low slope, and I looked and looked. And then it occurred to me that through the sun beating down on the skylights and the wind and snow and cold and so on, there must be something wrong, maybe with the caulking, even though they did caulking around the outside. So I looked on the inside, on the outside inside, caulking, and I saw it was all crackled. So I took a spray gun, container, and just to see if it would make a difference, and sprayed the outside caulking of one window. It looked horrible, and I had to clean it up afterwards to see if there was a difference. And would you believe it didn't drip into that window anymore? So I got the whole thing done, all windows, the caulking on the outside, but on the window, on the glass side only. And no more problems.
Yeah.
And I had problems for years. Nobody, and I had the roof when I had the roof redone, I asked them to pay special attention to the skylights and so on. I was charged, but nobody solved the problem. But the problem is solved.
Very
I
good.
I thought it might help somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on. Walter.
Yes. So, I mean, again, caulking is not the final answer. It's an answer to a situation that might help. There is an underlying issue that probably will be chronic. Now, the thing we have to be very careful with skylight leaks is not necessarily if it's not leaking inside that the skylight is not leaking. It's a very slow leak sometimes. It just drips, so it gets absorbed by the insulation. The vapor barrier, it takes a lot of weight for it to protrude through, okay? Again, I'm not a big supporter of the caulking solution only. I would rather go to the source of the problem and try to solve it. If it works, that's great. If it's not broken, don't fix it. But keep an eye on it because, you know, it's the same concept as when you have a leaky roof and then you put the tar on top just to stop the leak. It will work for a while. But as soon as that goudron or that tar starts cracking, it's just a question of time and the leak starts again.
I made it a point to check now. It's now 3 years and it works fine. And okay. Also the windows on the side, obviously I checked right away the caulking there and redid it. And so far, so good.
Good.
No more problems. Well, but I check every year.
Very good. Marilyn, thank you
That's
so much.
Good. That's
thank you.
Very
thank
good.
You so much for the phone call. I wanted to squeeze in one more if we can, Walter, before we go. It's 9:55. Fred has been patient. Hi, Fred.
Good morning.
Hi. We have about 2 minutes. What would you like to talk to Walter about?
Yeah, please, because last week I called. My sink is blocked. I used vinegar and baking soda.
Yeah.
It start to leak, slowly going in. It's getting opening slowly. The question is, can I use chemicals like a drain out or something? Because before it was completely blocked, nothing moving.
Hmm. You can. I mean, it's. Did you try to pass a fish to see if you can
Sorry,
unlock?
Sorry, I cannot hear you. Can I speak louder?
Yeah. Did you try to pass a fish to fish it out just to?
No, I did fish. Not. No, because I said before I do that, I just want to try to use the basic things.
Okay. I mean, the basic things, usually what I would recommend, easier solution and probably even a better solution is try to pass a fish. And before you do that, what you could do is, you know, the P-trap underneath, there's a screw at the bottom. If
what
you could just unscrew it.
Yeah.
If you look, is this a kitchen sink or a bathroom?
It's a kitchen sink.
Okay. So if you look underneath, there's a P-trap.
Yeah.
And there's like a little screw under the P-trap. So
yeah.
If you unscrew that, and sometimes you have some blockage at that location.
Okay.
So try that first. That's easy to do. Put the bucket underneath.
Okay.
So
if I undo that, if I undo the screw, then I put it back. Do I have to tighten up so good so it doesn't leak, or do I have to put something inside to make it tighter, or just close it as is?
You could close it as is, but make sure you put a bucket when you open it because water will leak, and then clean up that section. That would be the first thing that you could do that is easy. The fish is what I would recommend for you to do. I mean, the chemicals, I would like to lose them to use them as a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if that doesn't work, then we're calling in a plumber because you need the bigger fish and so on and so forth. But start with the easy things that do not, cause any harm to the environment or to your pipes. And you could do them. Those small fishes are not expensive to buy. So you could do that. That's what I'm saying. And it's really advantageous to keep it for future blockages as well.
How's that, Fred?
Thank you very much. You're so kind. God bless you.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Have a good day. Bye.
Walter, where did the hour go? Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Always a pleasure.
All right. That's Walter Rossi from Renovco. Thanks for a terrific hour. And you know what? Don't go anywhere. More advice is on the way. Lisa Christensen and the Car Show is standing by. Have a great rest of your Saturday, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning on Weekends with Ken at 6 a.m. All right?